Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College Podcast. Our sponsor for this episode of the podcast is Indiana Bible College Music Fest. I could give you a lot of details about how it happens on April 22nd, 23rd, and 24th here in Indianapolis, and how registration is now live over on the website, ibcmusicfest.com. But what I really want to do is let you know who's going to be there teaching, preaching, and passionately sharing what they have learned over years of ministry experience. Are you ready for this? Reverend Paul Mooney, Dr. Lyndall Anderson, Reverend Tim Pettigo, Reverend Jason Gallion and his wife Stephanie, Reverend Chris Henderson, Vito and Jessica DiGiovanni, Ben Patton, Reverend Kevin Brzezinski and his wife Caitlin Brzezinski, Keith Pace, Joshua Gothra, Reverend Chad Erickson and Fallon Erickson, Jeremy Guzman, Alyssa Cox, Jonathan Shellhart, James Wilson, Dr. Kristen Keller, Brent Edwards, Ben Cashin, Gideon Asifa, Kaylin Dye, Christy Stroud, Tyrion Cooper, and Kara Easton. That is hundreds of ministry experience years converging in Indianapolis, April 22nd through 24, with one express purpose of passing along wisdom, encouragement, and ideas to you. Go register at ibcmusicfest.com. But what we have to pass along to you today is an interview with a longtime member of the Global Missions family, Sister Linda Poitras. Captured last year during our Indiana Bible College Missions Conference, I know that you will enjoy this interview with Sister Linda Poitras.
Sister Poitras, it's great to have you on the IBC podcast.
It's very good to be here.
Last time we were able to get Brother Poitras to be on the IBC podcast, you unfortunately were not here, so to have you here is a real treat.
Thank you.
And you have a very interesting story, and at the Q&A each year, I know that you share that. And last year at the Q&A, you talked about how you arrived on a plane to Nigeria. And if people don't know, you are the first or one of the first aimers. And that story was just fascinating to me. Maybe you can give us just a really quick version of how that all came about.
I met the missionary at our Alabama camp, and through a series of events with the Lord leading, I found myself arriving in Nigeria in July of 1981, and because of the distance from where the international airport was located and where the missionary lived, they were not at the airport to meet me. So I went through the process. They had told me what to do, and went through the process of immigration and finding luggage. And you have to remember that Lagos, Nigeria is a city of over 10 million people at that time. And so there's a lot of people at the airport and a lot of people trying to help. And of course, those who were helping wanted money. And it was a very interesting and a little bit scary situation for me being alone. And the missionary had said, act like you know what you're doing. So that's what I tried to do. And found myself in a taxi going across town at night to go to the domestic airport. Spent the night on a bench in the Lagos airport. It was my first night in Africa. And God sent a couple. They were, the man was a dentist, and they had been traveling to their home country of India and returned, and their driver didn't show up. So they were going to stay in the airport too. So his wife and I found a bench, laid our heads down on our purses, and he sat up all night and watched our luggage. And that was my initial arrival into Africa. The next morning, got up and got a taxi again and went to the airport, changed money, bought a ticket, got on a plane, flew into the interior, found a taxi who took me 3 hours into the bush to the town of Utuabak, where when I walked in the, or got out of the taxi, I could see the missionary in the headquarters church. He jumped up. He was bald-headed, so I knew it was him. And I had arrived. So it was a very traumatic and a very good time to repeat one of my favorite verses over and over and over and over. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that was how my missions life began.
I would just imagine that for me, I mean, how do you come to the decision, being in Alabama, just you're going to be one of the first to go to Nigeria?
I don't know that I ever thought about it so much as a decision. It was a process. It didn't happen in one decision or one time. It was a process. I was a preacher's kid, so all my life had been taught that you sought the will of God. And after I graduated from university in 1977, that became a very serious thing. What do I do next? What does God want me to do? Where does he want me to be? And I think anyone who begins to seriously seek for the Lord and what God wants for them, he always answers. And it was not just a one day, one time, one event thing. There were a lot of things that went into it. A lot of prayer, a lot of soul searching, a lot of seeking counsel, a lot of listening to leadership, a lot of following the direction that I felt God was leading me, and then saying, okay, if that's what you want me to do, I want to do it. There were life things that were going on, and I had to make some changes in my life and make decisions. I was engaged, and the guy did not understand that there could be any reason why I would want to go outside of the U.S.
I just got to hit pause on this because for a lot of ladies,
yes,
the marriage issue is a big issue, but you
yes,
put that on the altar right away.
Well, it really had to be put on the altar because the young man was a very nice guy. He was in the church, served God, loved me. But I think the decision was, do I do what God is asking me to do, even though he doesn't understand? And it just came down to, I wanted to please God first. And that included doing what he said, even if it was something that was a little unusual and definitely out of my comfort zone, and it was not an ordinary thing. My family felt like that I was trying to find God's will, so they were behind me with that. My dad was my pastor, and he was good at being in dad mode and then pastor mode, so he could switch from one to the other, which was great. But I thank God for people who cared about the will of God for my life. And so through a process of events, I gave up the engagement and said, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do and wherever that is, I want to do it, because that is the most important thing, is pleasing you. Whether that involves marriage or not, that's up to you. Now, that was not a decision that just happened in 1 minute. I won't say I didn't struggle with it, because I did. But I do feel like that the Lord gave me assurance that he was going to take care of me. I can't say that he gave me assurance I was going to find a husband, but he did give me assurance that if he was calling me and leading me, and I believed that he was, then he would take care of everything. As history has proven, he did.
And this strapping Brother Poitras, you know, I say that. I have seen pictures, and strapping is an apt description of Brother Poitras. I remember a picture, it sticks out in my head, of a motorcycle and you two in probably Nigeria. And it's just an iconic picture when I think of you two in those days. So what were those days like, where you're young, you've met Brother Poitras, and you're doing missions, you're living the adventure?
It's very sometimes I look at that picture and I think, I can't even believe that it was us, but it was. That was our engagement picture on the motorcycle.
Okay.
And we had, there was a missionary in the country who took those pictures for us. And we did ride the motorcycle. There was not a lot of means of transportation. We walked from the mission compound to the Bible school, but we rode the motorcycle. And he would drive, I would ride in the back. And he never dumped me, not once. He was very good on the dirt roads and the mud roads and the pothole roads. It was an interesting time. We had a lot of good times on the back of, on that motorcycle. And it's not something that you planned. I don't know that I ever thought I would be riding a motorcycle through the literal jungles of Africa, but we did, and it was a lot of fun. But there was some wonderful things. We taught in the Bible school. We helped to establish and develop the Bible school in the nation of Nigeria. There had been Bible school work previously, but there had been some serious issues with the church, and so it had fallen by the way as far as a lot of progression. And both of us had degrees. The interesting thing about following the will of God, God began dealing with me in about going overseas in 1978, 79. And 1979 was the year that Brother Porteous received the Holy Ghost. He's in Canada, and he was not in the church all of his life. So he had just received the Holy Ghost that year. I didn't know anything about him. Didn't even know he existed. But God was at work, even in those days when we didn't know each other. He was working and leading us both to follow his path. And so there was a lot of good memories, teaching in the Bible school all day. And when we met, when we finally met in Nigeria, we decided that everybody was trying to put us together. They were calling me Sister Jim. They were already getting us married, and he's a very, very strong-willed person, and he was like, no, we're not going to do this just because everybody says we should, even if it was the leadership of the church. And I appreciated that because it's a serious thing, and just because you're together doesn't mean that you're supposed to become married together. And so we decided to, it was his idea, and I went along with it. We decided to pray and fast, and so we began at Easter time, and we would eat one meal a day. So all day long, we would be teaching in the school. We would eat supper every night, and then there was a prayer chain that went on in the Bible school, and we would go to the school together and pray for an hour. We did that for 7 weeks, and after that 7 weeks was when he asked me to marry him, but not before he had called my dad, which required a 12-hour trip to another town where there was actually a telephone. And he called my dad in America and talked to him. And he wrote every male member of my family a letter, even my nephews, and one of them was only 9 years old. But he got a letter from Brother Poitras, too, asking if he could marry his auntie. So he didn't tell me that. So it was a while before I knew about the letters, but it was very important to us that we heard from God about whether or not we should be together. And so it wasn't just, here's this person, we're in the same place, we're both lacking mission, so let's just get together. It wasn't that at all. It was a determination to do what God said and to ask Him first. So when we talk about seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that's very important. Sometimes we make decisions and then ask God. And it was important to us to seek Him first. And that's what we did. And we've never regretted that.
That's good. Well, Sister Poitras, you talked about a lot of good stuff there. I'll let you speak directly, though, to the young man or woman who's struggling with how can missions be possible because I'll never get married on the mission field. What do you say directly to that person?
we have worked with some young people who have, in fact, dedicated their lives to the Lord, and they have not married. We have worked with a lot of others who have dedicated their lives to the Lord and who did find someone that was also dedicating themselves to God. I don't think it is connected to the mission field. To me, it's not a matter of whether I'm on the mission field or not. It's a matter of, am I doing what God wants? And we know for a fact that God doesn't want everybody to be married. Hence, Apostle Paul, there are people in Scripture who did not. But most people were married, and that is a good thing for most people. And so I have always believed and advocated, when you put God first in your life and seek what He plans, He has good plans in store for everybody. And each person is different. There's no set thing to say, this is what's going to happen. And we have seen a number of young couples who met on the mission field. My niece came to Africa to work as an aimer. There was another young man there from Canada. They met. They were married. Today, they are missionaries in the nation of Senegal, West Africa. So that's just one more example of seeking God, putting Him first, following His path, and He takes care of what He wants for your life. I think sometimes people are afraid that the mission field puts them so far away from all of the possibilities for marriage that just ends it right there. But that, I don't believe that's true, because when you give God first place, He always has a way of having His will in your life.
And you've done it. And what I love about your story is you set it on the altar. It truly was, okay, God, I give this up. And God replaced it.
Yes.
I do. It's not a numbers game. I don't like that mentality. Some people look at it like math. It's not mm-hmm. math. You said it very well. Now, just looking to me, I'm not super close to your life, but looking at a distance, what sticks out to me is bravery for you to just get out there, and you're not afraid to just do things. Do you see that for yourself, and do you see that as an important characteristic on the mission field, or what characteristics do you see as important for missionaries?
I don't think bravery is a word I've ever used in my own mind about myself, but sometimes when I'm here and they ask questions and I start telling the story, I think, wow, I don't know what I would say if my children, one of them, was to say, this is what I'm going to do, because that might be a little scary. But I think it goes back to that verse. It is my life verse, Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord. And that is not an easy thing to do. It is such a wonderful thing if you can do it. And the thing about that verse is it doesn't stop. There's not a time when, okay, I'm past the young stage and there's a lot of things that happened because I did that when I was younger. I'm still doing it. Because to leave Africa, which was the only home we had ever had as a couple, and to come to North America has taken a lot of trust, in some ways more than going the other way. It has been harder for me to return here, and I know we're in the will of God, but the trust factor is the thing. So for me, the word would be more trusting in the Lord than bravery. And I sometimes, there's two things, two analogies that has helped me through the years. During the years when our children were very small, Brother Portress did a lot of traveling. He still travels a good bit. And the nation that we lived in was quite dangerous, just road hazards, just life in general. To travel was very dangerous. You were literally taking your life in your hands. And so I can remember after some serious things that happened when he would leave and I would be at home with first one baby and then two, and they were quite small. I can remember that the analogy that I would use was as though I were placing him in the very large hand. I would just imagine this huge hand, God's hands, and I would put him in God's hands. And when the fear would come, the worry would start to happen about if he was going to make it home okay, or what was going on in the part of the country where he was, or what was happening around us with the children. I would just get this mental picture, and I would put him right in the center of God's hands, and that would help, and it still does. Sometimes when he leaves St. Louis traveling overseas somewhere, and there's so many things that people face, and again, that's what I do. I just imagine this large, very large hand that I place him in. And the other analogy, when you're trusting in the Lord, is sometimes the decisions that God asks you to make. Okay, are you going to trust me, or are you going to try to figure it out? I say, okay, Lord, here we are again. We're jumping out of the plane with no parachute. You are going to have to catch us. You are the one, we are leaning on your guidance. You said do it. Okay, we're doing it. But you're going to have to be the one that catches us, because you can't figure out what's going to happen. There's no way of knowing. And those are the two things. I'm either jumping out of the plane with no parachute, or I am finding myself right in the center of those great big hands where he holds us close. And the main thing to me is knowing that what I'm doing is what God said I needed to do. So to me, it's not about bravery. It is about trusting in him. And that verse is just a mantra that has been a part of my life. And it has been a real blessing, because God has never dropped us. Doesn't mean everything has been easy, or there hasn't been any sad times or heartaches. There have. But God has been so very good.
That's a tremendous answer. You have spent your life in missions. I believe it's 28 years on the missions field. I could be slightly off with that. But do you have any regrets, or would you do it all over again?
I would definitely do it all over again. I might would start sooner. But I think, you know, the Lord's timing is very important. So I don't believe that it would have been good for me to start sooner, even though the only thing, I don't know that there's anything different. It was a blessed life. We went through some things in both nations that we lived in. But like I had already said, God was there. We were where he wanted us to be. We loved being in both places. I thought I would live and die in Nigeria. I never expected to leave. And when God led us away from there, the things that he did in our lives were amazing. We were totally amazed with the way God led and the things that he did for us and through us. And I would not exchange a life in missions for anything. It is a blessed and rich and very full life, and God has helped us. Our children have been blessed of the Lord, and the fact that they love God and serve him has been a lifelong goal, because you don't want to gain the whole world and lose your soul or your children, and I thank God for that. That has been extremely important. We don't take it for granted. Every day that they continue to live for God and serve him is a big thing, and I think for any lady, any young person, any young missionary wife, one of the major concerns is that your children are well and that they love and serve God. And so we thank God that they do, and we thank God for the relationship we have with them. And they have been enriched by their life in missions. And I thank God for that. So no, I would not change anything, and I do not regret living my life on the mission field. And I thank God for all that he has done and where he's brought us, and I have no regrets.
That's a good answer. Last question. if you could give advice to somebody who's trying to figure out the will of God for their life, maybe they feel a call to missions or just to do more, what should they focus on?
I think that the best thing that I could tell someone would be spend as much time as you can in the Word, know the voice of God. There are a lot of voices in the world today, and even more so nowadays. Technology, all of the things that are available to young people. And so many times they don't have the voices at home, the parental voice that I was blessed with. So getting into God's Word and listening to His voice, and when you know God's voice, then the voice of elders and people who will confirm will, again, agree with God's Word. It will not be hard to know because His voice will be so familiar to you. And when you hear it, it's like, I know who that is.
That's a beautifully said, because I think the natural thing is to want some sort of career path or some sort of plan.
That is.
But that's a beautifully stated way to approach it.
And I think even with a career path, direction from God is vital to that. It's not in our world today, the trend is to just move from job to job to job, from place to place to place. And it's all about seeking, and people are just seeking something. And if they can just connect with the voice of God when they're young, early as possible, and continue in that, and that is the most important thing in your life, and you will know that it's Him. But that comes from being familiar with His voice. And the best place to get that is from His Word.
That's fantastic. Well, Sister Poitras, thank you for sharing so much of your story, so much good advice for people listening. I know they will enjoy it, but thank you for being with us.
God bless you. Thank you, Brother Kevin.
Good news for all you listeners out there who would love to continue your education with Indiana Bible College, but simply can't make the trip to Indianapolis to do so. The Indiana Bible College Distance Learning Program is now accepting students who would like to continue their education, complete a degree, or just get an advanced certificate of studies. For more information on this and more about the distance learning program, visit www.ibcdl.com.